Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone. I just have to start the show with an apology here on the Green Zone to a few members of my fantasy football league who I didn't quite force to stay up to watch the Raiders Monday Night Football game, I'm sorry about that. If the Raiders weren't playing, they would have been at home with their families and tucked away in their beds well before that 11 p.m. end time. Locker, that sucked. I guess the L.A. Chargers are going to go to the Super Bowl. That's now my prediction.
You were really, really trying to find a way to cheer for the Raiders this year.
I really, really was. Geno Smith is terrible. Like, let's be honest. That was awful. Awful quarterback play.
So my question to you as a Raiders fan, and I know he has bounced around a bit, but was there ever a time where there was a possibility that Geno Smith could have been the answer?
The answer to what?
A team's quarterback troubles?
In his, how many years has he been in the NFL? 10 years? Yeah, hasn't happened yet. So I think we know the answer, that he's not the answer. But good thing Pete really likes the guy, though. Good thing, Pete Carroll.
He's a good guy. Go to bed, Pete. Run the ball.
We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports stories. The first game of the Monday night doubleheader was pretty darn good.
Mayfield steps through. And he's tripped up with a first down by Gardner Johnson. Pass caught. Evans down to the 7. They are going to run it. And a touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Yes, right at the end of the game, it is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rashad White ran that game-winning score in 20-19 over the Houston Texans. The Buccaneers are 2-0 to start the season. They have their home opener against the Jets. The Texans are 0-2 to start the season. They take on the Jaguars next week for week number 3 in the National Football League.
I think the interesting thing about the Bucs right now is that both those games, 2-0, were on the road. They kicked off the season on the road for both of them. We'll stick with the NFL. The Chargers continue to roll.
Raiders bring pressure. Herbert steps up on the move, scans end zone, a dart. Herbert launches downfield. It's Johnson in stride. Touchdown, Chargers.
Herbert looked good. He was 19 for 27, 242 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Chargers are 2-0 after beating Jamie's Raiders last night and the Chiefs. So they've actually had a very impressive start as well. The Raiders are 1-1. The Chargers are at home to the Broncos on Sunday, and the Raiders are in Washington taking on the Commanders this coming Sunday as well.
Let's move over to the Canadian Football League because I'm done talking about the Raiders. The Toronto Argonauts will have a new starter this week. But it doesn't look like it'll be Chad Kelly.
Nagy steps up, throws in between coverage, found a receiver. Who else?
Jarrett Daggy appears to be the starting quarterback for a big game against the Montreal Alouettes coming up on Friday. Of course, Nick Arbuckle didn't finish that dramatic win against the Edmonton Elks. He had a calf injury, so it looks like he's out. And Chad Kelly didn't have a jersey at practice today, so it doesn't look like he's going to play.
What about the comeback?
That was supposed to be last week, according to his social media. Apparently, he didn't get the memo that he's not yet the guy. So this will be Jarrett Daggy's second career start, his first game with the Edmonton Elks back in 2023. I think that's good news for the Montreal Alouettes that they're taking on Jarrett Daggy against the Toronto Argonauts this week.
We move over to baseball. Trey Savage had an impressive debut for the Jays last night.
Comes right back with it, and he strikes out Lau. And that time he got him to chase it. Again to the split. Got him. Fastball at 96. Got him with the splitter again.
So they brought him up, Trey the Savage. That was his debut. Family in the audience. Lots of camera shots of the fan jam in the stands. Loving that game. Springer with the single in the 11th that broke the tie. Back to Trey quickly. I forgot to mention this. He had 9 strikeouts, and that is a Blue Jays Major League record debut for the Toronto Blue Jays. So nice outing there. Rookie Braden Fisher finished off the night. He got 6 outs to secure the win, including the last 3. And they had runners on the corners last night, the Rays. So that was an impressive win. Game 2 in this 4-game series, 5:30 tonight. The Jays beating the Rays in game 1.
Of course, the magic number now down to 7 for the Jays to clinch the AL East as the Yankees lost last night. And meanwhile, make this make sense. The alleged cancer of the Vancouver Canucks locker room is now the captain of the New York Rangers.
Miller moves in with Sabanajad. He shoots. He scores. Play it to the empty net.
Yes, so everybody in Vancouver saying it had to be done. They had to trade JT. It just was rotten in the locker room. The relationship with Elias Pettersson, it just couldn't be undone. And there's some things that both sides should regret. And then today I wake up to the news that JT Miller, and I quote, has immediately become a leader for our group and exemplifies how we want to conduct ourselves both on and off the ice. That was from general manager Chris Drury. So, which organization is getting it wrong? Is it the Vancouver Canucks who threw out JT Miller because he was a bad apple and treated Elias Pettersson wrong and had some personality conflicts with his teammates in Vancouver? Or is it the New York Rangers who are wrong to make this guy your captain? We will find out over the next season.
Well, I have some thoughts, but we're going to discuss this later on the Green Zone, right?
We will.
Okay.
He was the alternate captain for 4 seasons in Vancouver before his trade to the New York Rangers.
Just out of curiosity, did anybody let you know about this?
About what?
JT Miller becoming the captain of the New York Rangers.
Anybody send Renaud it to Lavoie. You? It's first thing I saw when I opened up X this morning was like JT Miller. It was in French, but the captain of the New York, I was like, what? What? And then sent it to my Canucks friends going, what is happening?
Everybody wanted me to let you know. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure he knows about this.
I'm having a great 24 hours, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up next, the debate continues. What needs to happen with the Replay Center in the Canadian Football League? Get rid of everything? One fan had an interesting point of maybe there's one thing you keep, one rule, one penalty that still needs to be reviewed by the review center, but just that one. We'll get into it next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Tuesday afternoon. As we continue here on the Green Zone. Still to come, of course, we have Mark O'Leary. We'll continue our WHL preview series with the Moose Jaw Warriors today as the Western Hockey League regular season starts on Friday.
Moose Jaw had a rough year last year, so.
They won the Edgenell Cup 2 years ago. One of those, you build it up, you win, and then
tear it down.
You tear it down and build it back up again. So year 2 of that with Mark O'Leary and the Moose Jaw Warriors. Also, Glenn Healy's going to join us, of course, a former NHL goaltender. Now he is doing tremendous work as the president and executive director of the NHL Alumni Association. Some extra money in the new CBA coming for that group for alumni dealing with medical bills and things like that. We'll talk about the work Glenn Healy has been doing more or less quietly.
Yeah.
Really since he left broadcasting.
I'm curious if he misses broadcasting.
And Matthew Shinetti is going to join us. The curious case of Chad Kelly resumes in Toronto. Is he going to play or not? Like Nick Arbuckle's hurt. So you'd think, okay, now Chad Kelly comes in. He's still not practicing? So it's Jarrett Daigie? We'll talk to Matthew Schenetti. What the heck is going on with Chad Kelly if he's going to play ever again for the Toronto Argonauts in a big game coming up? Also, we want to talk to Matt about what the heck was going on between the benches last weekend with Edmonton and Toronto. Schenetti was right in the middle of it.
Well, and that is not behavior that I would think would come from Dinwiddie, right? Like, did you get that? Like, that's the first thing.
He's pretty intense.
But not that.
But to go right to the sideline with the get the out and of he was, here and he kick was in the kicking. Air after the game-winning field goal, I was like, that is next-level performance from a head coach. So Matthew Schenetti will have more on that story a little bit later on. But also Truth or Trash Tuesday is coming up. And we've talked a little bit about the Replay Center this week after,
well,
the
you.
Ridiculousness that played out on Saturday with the Riders and the Montreal Alouettes.
You're automatically removed by the Replay Center. We have procedures against Saskatchewan number 62. It's a 5-yard penalty, and it's second down.
What are we doing? We're calling procedure penalties from the Replay Center now in the CFL? Oh, goody. So I'm talking about getting rid of it. Just get rid of it. But someone messaged me yesterday and said, you need to keep it. Touchdowns, turnovers, was the foot in bounds, but you need to keep the challenge for roughing the passer, which would spiral into the C.J. Revis challenge of Mike O'Shea that a lot of people weren't very happy with. So on Truth or Trash Tuesday, is that person right? Do you keep some chunks of the Replay Center, including roughing the passer, get rid of the whole thing? Or maybe you love it. Maybe you sit at home and you just can't wait for that guy into Toronto to buzz down and make a penalty call from his nice little air-conditioned booth in the office in Toronto.
I don't think anybody's on.
Well, the person who's getting paid to be in that replay center is loving.
Is that part of the problem? Like, is it that person that's in that? That's my. I don't want to call out anybody. I don't know any of these individuals, but
they're all former refs that do this for the replay official.
Yes, you need to be qualified, but I'm just saying there are certain people that are like,
I'm bored. You know, I'm going to make a call here now. They're not supposed to do that, but sometimes it feels like, it's like all of a sudden, it's like, were you watching a different game entirely and then just turned around and went, oh, that's a penalty because you missed a couple earlier that you could have called in on. I think it's best we just get rid of the whole thing. Just enough.
The problem with the replays in sports is there's, depending on the sport you're looking at, there are elements of every sport where it works very effectively, right? In tennis, you've got the Hawkeye and the line calls. That just makes sense. There isn't a big conversation outside of tennis revolving around whether or not to use replay on the lines, right? And in baseball, once they move it into baseball and they start using it, I think it's going to make the game better, in my opinion. And so there's elements of it. In football, there's so much going on, and it seems like a game you should leave alone.
It's fast, that's why they need it so fast. You got to correct this stuff. That's why guys make mistakes. Protect the integrity of the game.
We're getting texts already and not many coming in saying keep it.
The entertainment value of the game. Jamie and Locker with you here on The Green Zone. We'll be talking to Glenn Healy, former NHL goaltender. Now he is the president, executive director of the NHL Alumni Association on the work he's been doing and more money coming their way for the alumni in the new collective bargaining agreement. Jamie and Locker on the Green Zone as we continue to get you set for the WHL season. And we are joined by the head coach of the Moose Jaw Warriors, Mark O'Leary, here on the Green Zone. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Well, there's no denying the Warriors went all in, got that Ed Schnell Cup 2 years ago. Now it's the build back time. But how much growth have you seen over the summer with the majority of the team coming back for 2025-26?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, we talked a long time about, you know, taking advantage of the longer summer. Obviously, you don't want to make a habit of missing playoffs and having those extra weeks. But to our guys' credit, they took advantage of that opportunity, and we came back in great shape. And, you know, at this age, it's amazing the kind of growth that you can see just over the course of, you know, 3 months' time.
There is a, like you said, there's a benefit to that longer summer, but there's also probably a bit of a disconnect that the guys are away a little bit longer. Is there one thing that you want the guys to stay focused on and committed to, and to build on the improvement from last year?
Well, I think the message this year is, you know, we want to get something different than we did last year. And to do that, you have to do something different. So the challenge, you know, for myself as a coach and for them as players is, you know, find a way to be different, you know, whether it's the way that you approach practice or, you know, even in the summertime, how you approach your training or even things like your mindset, you know, just finding something little that you can attach yourself to that makes you a different person than last year. And, you know, if you do that enough times throughout a lineup, you're a different team.
Do you stress on the results right now, Mark, or is this one of those years where you just, hey, let's go surprise some people?
I don't think we ever focus on the result, to be completely honest. Even when we won a championship, you know, the idea was to be playing our best hockey at the end of the year and putting ourselves in a position where we have a chance to win. And we even knew then that, you know, you need a lot of things to go your way, including staying healthy, and it'll be no different this year. Of course, we want to be in the playoffs, but, you know, we know that a lot of things have to happen for that to happen, and all we can control is, you know, the practice, the workout, the video preparation, all that stuff in front of us. And if we do that and stack it over days and weeks, I like our chances.
Mark, I hope I don't butcher his last name here. Carson Dietrich?
Oh, yeah. Okay, Dykart.
Dykart. Okay, I did butcher it. Local kid. He played really well for Moose Jaw on the way to the U18 final against Regina last year. What did you see from him in the preseason?
Well, he's a great example that, you know, put in the time this summer. You know, he's noticeably bigger and stronger, and he made that his focus in the off season, and I've seen that put to work in the through training camp and in the early goings here of preseason. He's more confident on the puck and, you know, doing what he needs to do to be successful, and that's using his speed and his skill to make plays. But like any other player, there's a race and there's a battle component, and he's more equipped to handle that now because of the work he did all summer.
I'm interested in the younger players coming through for you. Do you see the benefit, and how big of a benefit is it that Carson did go through that battle with the Regina Pat Canadians and go to a final and have that playoff experience? Well, not WHL playoff experience, but how important is it for anybody to have that experience? And do you see that maturity in Carson carrying over to this season?
Yeah, I think that regardless of what age you are or what level, you know, that's the biggest moment that you've ever been in. And I think that you learn something about yourself, and you understand that, you know, the attention to detail, the intensity, the responsibilities in, you know, your job as a player, all those things are just as important when you're, you know, a 16-year-old playing at the U18 level as it is when you're 19 playing at the U20 level. So I think it's all relative, and that's valuable experience that, you know, I'm sure he's taking advantage of, and that's all part of the maturation process.
Lyndon Lakovich, 27th pick of the Capitals, had a goal. He had an assist in the preseason game. How excited are you to see him grow and possibly as a leader as well?
Yeah, there's no question he's going to be a leader. I mean, last year, I think going from a 17-year-old to an 18-year-old coming off a real big season, being a big part of the championship as a 17-year-old guy, there was huge jumps in terms of just the maturity level, you know, on and off the ice. And then we've already seen it again here, you know, before he went to Washington. I think that he's a guy that's passionate. He works on his game and a very popular teammate. But, you know, the maturity in terms of not just, you know, there's a responsibility with a 19-year-old where it's not just about your game, you know, having your eyes wide open and, you know, taking care of your teammates. And you see that with Lack, and that's a big part of why he wears the C, and he's going to be a big part of our team again this year.
What's his travel plans like as a 27th overall pick? I imagine Washington will keep him around a little bit longer through main camp.
Yeah, that's certainly what we anticipate, but, you know, we try not to get too involved on that. And my message is always the same to those guys that, you know, you don't worry one bit about the Moose Jaw Warriors. You know, you're there as a Washington Capital, and your head needs to be where your feet are. And, you know, we'll certainly be excited when he does come back. But I think it's, you know, doing him a disservice if he's thinking about anything else other than trying to make an NHL team.
You got another guy that's out of camp right now, goalie Josh Bonini. He got to head to the Oilers rookie camp. Where's he at right now?
He's actually en route back to Moose Jaw. He'll touch down in Regina at 5 o'clock here tonight. But another guy that you know, earned an opportunity to get his feet wet at that level. And I know in the text that I've had with him, you know, since camp ended, he's taken the feedback and certainly taken what they've given him in terms of the experience and turned that into excitement to get back here and get back to work.
For goalies in particular, how big is that to be just at his age? He's still a young guy to, you know, watch it, be around pros, so to speak, and learn a little bit for a goaltender.
Yeah, I think the on ice and the off ice, I think, can be equally valuable. You know, if you're watching the right people in terms of preparation, but, you know, I think it also, you know, being around good players and better shots and pace of play is quicker. It really makes you dial in and make sure that you're prepared to, you know, play with detail as well. You know, it's easy to, you know, get scrambly when things are happening fast around you. But, you know, the more you go through those experiences when things are happening fast and you trust your instinct and you stay within the structure of your game, especially as a goaltender, I think that's real valuable. And I know Josh would see it that way as well.
So, Mark, you've had an interesting path as a younger coach in the WHL. What's the bigger challenge, coaching a championship caliber team or trying to bring a younger squad up to that point?
I think, you know, it's funny looking back. I mean, when I first started here, we were at the bottom of the heap, and, you know, we built through the draft, and that's what it's all about, you know. So it's just, it's kind of round two in terms of starting from the bottom and trying to work your way back through. And that's what I think makes the championship season so special. It's not that year. I mean, that year you're white knuckling it and you know what the expectations are, and it's hard to really enjoy the moment when you're going through that. But when you look back at that, you know, first year and, you know, taking our lumps, losing by 8 or 9 goals in Winnipeg, and, you know, having that same group 3 years later, you know, being 19-year-old, 18-year-old guys now, and being on the other end of that and developing as people and players and ultimately winning, I think that's what makes the winning season more special.
Have you had a deja vu moment yet for this group going, oh, I remember this from building that championship team?
Well, it's easy to talk about comparables as a coaching staff. We do like to do that, and there's there's lots to be excited about here with the next crop coming up. I know Jason and his staff have done a hell of a job in terms of, you know, bringing in not just skill, but competitive skill. I think that's so important. And, you know, it's one thing to have guys that can stick handle, but can they do it in traffic and in areas where it gets hard? And, you know, that's what we want here. And there's certainly guys that are willing to do that. And I'm excited and thrilled to be around it.
In Regina with the Pats, Mark, there's going to be a lot of conversation and eyes on some of the younger guys, Maddox, Liam. Who are we watching for on the Warriors this year?
Well, I think in that younger group, you know, a guy like Riley Thorpe, I know he played last year as a 16-year-old, but he'll be a guy that, you know, we'll lean on a little bit in terms of providing offense even at 17. And, you know, he has his buddy Matty LaJoie that's joined us this year as a 17-year-old as well, and he's a young, exciting guy. But, you know, we have some guys that are from actually the Regina area that have looked real good in the early going here with Steven Cerenka and Casey Brown. So, again, we have a lot of returning guys. We're still young in that group, but we're looking for guys to take a step.
Final note, Mark, of course, Moose Jaw, one of the smaller markets when it comes to the Western Hockey League. Community is such a huge part in being a part of that community. And I know the Warriors lost a big booster in Ken Tressel from the Booster Club. How important are guys like Ken to the Moose Jaw Warriors and these WHL teams?
Well, that's the first thing that we talk about with, you know, being a part of the Moose Jaw Warriors, whether we're talking to families, you know, dropping their kids off here for the first time, or, you know, you're going out to a, you know, a community event as a staff or with the players and helping them understand what makes this organization special. It's the community. And whether it's the summertime at a golf event or, you know, during the season with the Booster Club that, you know, bends over backwards to do anything they can to help the team, or just running into people around town that care so much about the organization and do whatever they can to, you know, help the players enjoy their experience, not only with the team, but in the city. So it's a special thing. And again, I'm just real happy and, you know, thrilled to be a part of it.
Well, Mark, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the opener.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is Mark O'Leary, the head coach of the Moose Jaw Warriors, as we continue our tour around the Western Hockey League markets in Saskatchewan before the regular season. As the puck drop later on this week, we'll head to Prince Albert, of course, and our final stops will be Regina and Saskatoon before the season starts on Friday. Coming up next, it's interesting the audio you find in the Green Zone Sports Archive folder here at Rolco Radio, and I found a clip today that triggered me on a moment in time in Rider history. And I can almost, right when I hit play, I was like, oh yeah, he said that. The day, I will say, to be honest, that Cody Fajardo might have been a little bit too honest to Rider Nation. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I found a piece of post-game audio from the starting quarterback of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in 2022, Cody Fajardo. The game was Friday, September 16th. The Edmonton Elks, who were 3-10, came into Mosaic Stadium to take on the 6-7 Saskatchewan Rough Riders, which felt like get back to 700, race for the playoffs. They sucked in the first half. They got booed off the field in the first half, did the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They ended up losing 26-24 to the Edmonton Elks, and Cody Fajardo was asked about those boos post-game.
I'll be honest, it wasn't great when you hear your own fans booing you, so especially when you're at home, we need a great energy and good crowd, and I'm always going to give you guys the honest and the truth. It hurt, but we ended up scoring and gave them something to cheer about there at the end, and unfortunately weren't able to make it happen. But tonight was a tough one because I felt like a lot of people gave up on us.
Yeah, that end of 20. When people are like, oh, the Riders made a huge mistake to get rid of Cook. Yeah, it was stuff like that, Rider Nation, where you hear it back and go, oh, yeah, that's why we were like, get lost. You sucked against the worst team in the Canadian Football League, and we gave up on you? Paid my ticket. I'll boo your butt right off the field if I want to. Thank you very much. Craig Dickinson's postgame that night, Locker. We're just a bad football team.
I've always appreciated
honesty. We were good when we were 4-1.
I've always appreciated honesty.
When you complain about the fans booing you off the field, you suck.
Not that.
I'm sorry.
Not that. I'm saying that, you know, Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're a bad football team. Like, I'm there for it all the time.
See, a lot of people called the postgame show that night and said Cody Fajardo should be benched. That's it. Put in Mason Fine. They didn't do it. Then they lost to the Bombers. Then they lost to the Tiger Cats. And then they benched Cody with the final two games of the season. Loss. 7-game losing streak.
And then he was gone, right?
And then he goes to Montreal and
that's right.
Wins a Grey Cup in 2023.